Well, we are looking into Haggai this morning, but it would be good if you want to turn to Ezra chapter 3. That's where we'll end up first of all. Ezra chapter 3, just to start us off as we delve into Haggai chapter 2 eventually. Let's just pray and we'll commit our time to the Lord. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the day, and Lord, we come understanding that you have promised where we two or three are gathered in your name, that you are here in the midst. And so we acknowledge your presence today and ask that you would be the one who, Lord, ministers to our hearts and souls and minds. And Lord, do your work and use your word as you see fit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, two Sundays ago, we looked at how about 50,000 Jews were allowed to go back to Jerusalem by King Cyrus the Persian in order to rebuild the Lord's temple. That was the purpose for going back. And we saw also last week how Haggai went and he had a message for these people because they had stopped building God's temple due to the persecution that was around about at that time because they were doing the work of the Lord. And Haggai was sent to plead with them to get back to work and finish doing what they were meant to be doing. And that's what we saw last week and the week before. And in dealing with this generation, we saw that there are some very clear parallels for us as New Testament believers. We can see that just like the foundation of the temple was laid by the Jews, Christians have a temple today. It is us as as believers. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. A local church is the temple as well. And we have a foundation that is laid, and God's word tells us that is Jesus Christ. And that foundation is laid at the point of salvation. Now the Jews were to build upon that foundation that they laid, and so too as Christians we are instructed to build upon our foundation by bringing glory to the Lord and doing good works and service for Him. We also know that the Jews at that time, due to the persecution that was around them, stopped doing the work of God and they gave up. And that is often how it can happen for Christians as well. The enemy of our soul, our adversary, is able to bring certain things into our life to the point where we don't want to live the Christian life. We don't want to serve the Lord anymore. We just want to give up. And that can happen. And we see here that the Jews did that. They not only felt like giving up, but they did give up. And sadly, too often, Christians give up and they stop doing what God wants them to do in their life, whatever that may be. And often we need a kick in the pants, just like this generation did. And they received that kick in the pants through Haggai coming to them and telling them what God wanted them to know. And we saw last week how he mentioned their sin of no longer building. And we also saw how he reminded them of the consequences for not doing what God wants. Everything was going wrong in their life, and it was not just by accident. This was God's doing, and Haggai made sure the people knew this was of God. And then we saw the people's response to this in that they submitted to God's word, and they began to build the temple again. And this was the first message of four messages that Haggai brought to the Jews in this very short prophecy or book that we have. And we learn in chapter 2, after a month and 20 days, so it makes it nice and clear, they've been working for a month and 20 days, that Haggai returns with another message from the Lord. And the topic of this message is that they weren't to compare the two temples. The first time Haggai went to the people, he went to stir them up to start building. The second time he went to them, he went to cheer them up because they were discouraged because of their comparing of the two temples. And it seems that they were beginning to be discouraged and wanting to give up again. And this time, it was, as I said, they were hearing, they couldn't, well, most of them didn't see or know the comparison, but they were hearing the comparison of the temple that they were working on as opposed to Solomon's temple, and they understood that it wasn't as good as the last one, and so they were discouraged and needed some encouragement to keep going. And I've already looked at this and how it unfolded and the people involved, but I think it's good for us to just be reminded again of the attitudes of the various people while building, because this paints the pictures for what we're going to look at Haggai. And so in Ezra chapter 3, we do see this in verses 10 and 11, and this is once the foundation was laid. We read, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." So this was at the time of the foundation being laid, and most of the people were celebrating and excited over what they could see God was doing in their midst. They understood it was a miracle that they were back there in the land, and that they were able to get to the point of laying that foundation. But as it usually is, there's always some people in a group that will be negative to some degree. And instead of giving thanks, they were negative instead. And we see this was the case with the building of the temple, with the foundation. It says there in verse 12, "But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud voice, and the noise was heard afar off." And we will see in Haggai that what the case was is some people were singing out for joy of what God had done, and then other people were weeping out of disappointment because it wasn't as good as the last temple. Some focused on the negatives. It's not like the old one. It's not as good as it used to be, and so on, while others just rejoiced at what God was doing. And so if they were negative about the foundation, could you imagine when they started seeing the walls go up, or they see the lining of certain things go up? If they continued with this attitude, they would have continued to be negative, even more negative, when they see the pretty things go up. Because generally the foundation isn't as extravagant as everything else. And that would have been the case for the temple of God as well. I want you to notice he did the comparing. This isn't always the case, but it often is in a local church. "But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men," complained or compared. The old men compared and complained. And if you are in the old category here, and sadly, I used to be able to say that and not put me in that category, but I know that I'm getting into that category now. I just have to look in the mirror and realize that it's discouraging. I can't dismiss myself of being in that category. But if you are in the older category here, be careful that you don't discourage the younger ones by comparing what you've done for the Lord with what they are doing for the Lord. And comparing, there's nothing more disheartening than older ones complaining about your work that you're doing for the Lord when you're trying to do your best. And it appears that these Jews They had repented, they began to build, but there were still those feelings of disappointment with what they were seeing amongst some. And so as they built, and I suspect as they heard the comparisons, heard how it wasn't as good as the past, there was discouragement starting to set in. And that's why God sends Haggai back again. But I do believe there's a very good lesson just to learn from that. One way to always be discouraged is by comparing yourself to others. Be very sure of that. Too often we try to gauge how we're going with the Lord by comparing ourselves to somebody else, and ultimately you will end up being discouraged. Too many Christians compare their church to other churches, and then they discover that their church isn't as big, their church isn't seeing as many getting saved, their church has not got this ministry or that ministry that other churches have, and then they get discouraged with their church. Too many Christians compare themselves with others and feel discouraged because that person seems to be able to achieve more in the work of the Lord than what they can, and they get discouraged. Too many Christians compare their children to other people's children, or their spouse to other people's spouse, or the capacity to cope or serve or whatever it may be. And so then there is discouragement. And one thing I've learned over the years, I will quickly be very discouraged in what I'm doing if I compare myself to what others are doing. And it's the same for you. You know, preachers will be very discouraged if they start comparing themselves to other preachers. Pastors, same. Sunday school teachers, same. Mothers, the same. Fathers, the same. Christians, in any area of life, you start comparing yourself to others, you will ultimately become discouraged. You'll either get discouraged or you'll get slack because you'll compare yourself to someone that you know is not as achieving as much, and you think, well, I'm doing okay, I need to relax now. One of the two. But generally, it's discouragement. And this is what these Jews were doing at this time. And so Haggai comes to them and gives them comfort and advice on what they ought to be doing from God. And so please turn over to Haggai chapter 2 if you're not there already. And I'd like to read the first three verses of Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people." So it's for everybody. "Saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" So he asks three questions. First of all, amongst everyone, who was here and saw the last temple? So they're going to get the facts right. You know, you just can't assume it's good or better or worse. But who saw it? And so maybe they put up their hands and said, "Yep, we were there." And then he asked the question, "How do you see it now? How do you see this one?" And then he gives them the answer as well. "Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Isn't it true that this temple is nothing compared to the last one?" So Haggai confirms that they thought that this new temple that they were working on was nothing in comparison to what Solomon had built. And it seems as though he acknowledges that this is the reality as well. He doesn't reject it. He doesn't go and say, "You are wrong, it's better," or anything like that. He acknowledges that it's probably true. And when you stop and think about it, when you think of all the resources that Solomon had, how he could get all the cedars from Lebanon, how he had gold and silver in bucket loads, it would make sense that the extravagance of Solomon's temple would have been absolutely overwhelming, as opposed to what that, the resources that they had, where it was Jews who were back in Babylon and they gave to help with the building. So it was a far less resource. And so it was true, it wasn't as spectacular, I suspect, to look at as the first one, and possibly never would have been. So at least Haggai was honest with them. Doesn't try and make them feel better by telling them a lie. No, it's much better. Don't you worry. And that's why, you know, the Lord says that we're to be honest even with our own abilities. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. You know, you need to be honest with what you have and what He's given you. Now He tells them, and it seems He acknowledges that their temple isn't better or as good as Solomon's. And this is important for all of us to take note of, because we might as well accept, as I said, the fact that when it comes to us as the temples of God now, and as a local church, as this temple of God, that we're going to be different. There are going to be different aspects of glory, if we want to put it like that, in the Lord, where some have more than others. You know, in Romans chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "For as we have many members in one body," so that's us, we're a body of Christ, and we have many members, we're all making up the body of Christ here. And it says, "And all members have not the same office." So each one of us have different responsibilities here. That is office positions. We all have different positions in this body of church, of Christ. But then it says in Ephesians 4:7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." And so not only are we given different offices or abilities to be able to serve in various ways, we are given a different measure of that gift as well. And so some are given a greater measure of a gift than somebody else, and that is of God's choosing what gift someone gets, what office or way He wants to use them, and also what ability in that area they get as well. God does all that. It's His choosing. And so the reality is some people, even within a local church, are going to be able to teach better than others. Some are going to be able to preach better than others, depending on the measure of the gift. Some are going to be able to in the wider scheme, pastor better than others. Some are going to be able to evangelize better than others. God does use some people more than He uses others. Some people are more talented in when it comes to musical ability, for encouraging, for evangelizing, whatever it may be. And so it makes sense that you're going to have some churches that are going to be bigger than others, are going to be used differently or maybe more than others because of depending on who is there in that local church and the measure of the gift they are enjoying. You get that? We're not all going to be the same. And let's not try and pretend that we are all exactly the same when it comes to our gifts and our abilities. So you might as well accept for yourself that there are going to be, you're going to find yourself, if you compare yourself with others, you're going to find others that are better at what you do than others. Because God gifts differently and gives a different measure of that gift as well. You know, something that I had to come to terms with very early in the piece is that if I start comparing myself to other pastors, I'm going to get very discouraged. Like some people, they love reading about John Wesley and Charles Spurgeon and maybe even Bob Jones. And I feel, you know, you can learn from them, but I feel sorry if they think that's the measure of where they're meant to be. These men had amazing spiritual gifts and a great measure of that gift, and God used them mightily. But if they think that's the ranking or the bar, they're going to be very discouraged. And I know there's some very, very gifted preachers and teachers even in our state and country. And I tell you, I know that if I start comparing myself to them, I'm going to be very discouraged as well. And you will be the same if you do the same when it comes to how God uses you. You might be discouraged because you have me as your pastor. Because when you compare me to other pastors, you realize, hey, he's missing a lot of the glory or the gifts that he ought to be having. That pastor is able to teach so much better. That pastor is so evangelistic. You know, that person is so good at administration. And you'll find that pastors do have a measure of a gift in some way that is greater than others. I'm sorry if that is the case. But if you compare temples with temples, you will be discouraged. If you look at people with a gift and you compare them, you're going to see they're different, and one is probably gifted better than the other, and you will find that in yourself as well. And this is how these Jews must have been feeling. Discouraged. As they were hearing people say, Solomon's temple was far better than this one. And that would have been very discouraging. Why are we bothering to serve the Lord? Why bother building if it's not going to be as good? And so Haggai tells them what to do in this time. And it's not feel sorry for yourself and just give up. That's not it. You know, generally that's how you want to. I'm not as good as that person, so why bother? I'll just give up. No, he tells us in verse 4, and I want you to notice the word strong. Verse 4, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I have covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. What does he say? Be strong, be strong, be strong, and work, because I'm with you. That's the message that he had. He tells them to be strong and do the work that God has called you to do. Don't let these feelings of discouragement when you're compared to others get you down in the Lord, in the Lord's work. The last thing the Lord wanted them to do is to stop building again. The enemy was able to get them to stop building by persecution. And now it seems like the enemy was trying to use people from within to discourage them to serve the Lord as well by comparing and revealing that the work they're doing isn't as good as what others could or have done in the past. See, the important thing to God was that they were to build the temple, and he would supply them with everything that he wanted them to have. And here is a very important fact to remember, right? Get this. If God wanted that temple to be smothered in gold, he would have provided all the gold needed. If he wanted the very best cedar to be used, God would have made sure that he provided it. If God wanted to have the Ark of the Covenant there, which wasn't, he could have provided that. If he wanted the Shekinah glory to appear, which it didn't, but he could have provided that as well. If he wanted it to be exactly the same as Solomon's temple, he could have provided all the resources for it. He didn't expect it to be smothered in gold, otherwise he would have supplied those things. But let's be sure of one thing. He did expect one thing to be exactly the same as Solomon's temple, and that is the people's attitude to serve him faithfully. That's all he was looking for. That they had the same joy of the Lord in serving him faithfully. This is all they needed here, and all they needed to remember. When they started comparing, discouragement came. But as they needed the reminder, just serve God faithfully regardless. You know, that's what we all have to accept. If God calls you to the ministry as a pastor, as a missionary, in full time, accept that you're going to hear of others doing wonderful things far better than what you've done. And we've got a couple of little missionary or missionary children, and I'm sure you must hear how other missionaries, they're seeing this done and that done. And wow, we're just stuck in our little tribe here and nothing seems to be happening. All right? You start comparing, you're going to be discouraged. That'll happen as a pastor, as a Sunday school teacher, as an evangelist, whatever it may be, or as serving the local church. The Lord doesn't expect every person to be the same or have the same results. He doesn't expect every church to be the same size and be doing exactly the same as everyone else is doing. Every church has their own set of people with their own set of gifts and abilities and the degrees, and God will use us as He has gifted us with each one of you in the ways that He's gifted. Let's not compare. The Holy Spirit chooses who gets the different gifts and the different measures. You don't get it yourself. You don't, when you get saved, say, well, I think I put my order in for, I want the gift of giving. Because it probably means I'm going to have a lot of money and I can give a fair bit of it away, and I want the measure to be huge. All right, I want to be really rich so I can give lots of money. You don't get to choose. God gives you the gift. You need to discover where He's gifted you. And in time, you'll discover if you're a greater measure of it or not. And that's as simply as what He wants. And sadly, some can look at two temples. And it could be two evangelists, two Sunday school teachers, two one-way leaders, two musicians, whatever, as a temple. As I said, we are the temple of God. And you can pair one temple with another temple and then be very quick to say, well, they're not as good as such and such. And if they hear that, there's discouragement straight away. Yeah, if you're on the piano, if I come and tell you that I think such and such is a much better piano player than you, how are you going to feel? You're going to say, thank you. Thank you for that honesty. I really appreciate that. I know that I'm not as good. No, you're going to be hurt by that. And it's the same if I say that such and such is a far better teacher than you or a far better one-way leader. So that person is far more encouraging than you. They obviously got a gift of encouragement you don't. All right? Comparing one temple to another is only going to bring discouragement. And that's what was happening here in Haggai's day. That's why he says, be strong, be strong, be strong and work, because He is with us. That's all He cares about. As we're told in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Not really gifted. Not have a great measure, but be faithful. And when we realize it's not so much the degree of the results the Lord's looking for, but rather the degree of faithfulness in us that the Lord is looking for, we can realize it's so foolish to compare. To compare amongst ourselves here, compare with other churches. It is the most disheartening, foolish thing that we can be doing. Because the good news is we can all achieve what God's looking for. That's a good thing. I can't be a Charles Spurgeon. I can't even be an Ernie Besley, all right, or one of those guys. But I tell you what, I have the capacity to be just as faithful as these guys. And that's what God is looking for, and that's how He rewards us. And so, just like He tells us, He told those back in Haggai's day, He said, be faithful and work. And then this is a really interesting thing. He then tells them how even the temple in the past, in Solomon's day, is not going to be as good as the one in the future. That is the millennial temple when it'll be of made by God's people under the instruction of Christ. There will be the ark, I believe, or whatever is the comparison in reality, and Christ will dwell in there. You can't compare. But have a look in verses 5 to 9. This is what he says. Oh, 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. This is end times. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house, that is Solomon's, shall be greater. The glory of the latter house, the future house, shall be greater than the former, Solomon's, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the funny thing. They were getting discouraged because the temple they're working on wasn't as good as Solomon's. Now they're reminded, even Solomon's is not going to be anything compared to what Christ's is going to be in the future. They were getting it all mixed up. Now, if Solomon, the one building on there, if they could see what was going to come in the future, they may have been discouraged. Why are we bothering? But as I said before, it's not the glory of what we can see that God is interested in. It is being faithful in the work that He's called us with the gifts that He's given and the measure of that gift He's given. And so that's the one thing that we need to take from this passage. And Christ is still looking for men and women, boys, girls, who will choose to do His work and to do it His way and do it with all their heart out of love for their Savior so that He may be glorified through them in any way He wishes. You know, I had to come to that reality. I'll tell you, I've told you before, I hate preaching and I hate getting up the front. Still to this day, and I hate being asked to be a guest preacher somewhere else because it's too scary, all right? So I hate it. But I have to come and I pray this prayer even to this day when I'm at somewhere else preaching. I say, Lord, if You've only brought me here because You want me to get up the front and make a fool out of myself, well, I will accept that. I'll just get up and make a fool out of myself if that's what You've brought me here today. Now, once you put the bar that low, well, then you feel okay. You can accept, I'm going to get up there and make a mess and I'm going to embarrass myself and everyone's going to laugh at me. Well, if I can still accept that, well, then I'll take whatever else comes after that as well. But that's the attitude. Lord, I'll just do it to my best of my abilities. Let's all see that and maybe not compare temples with temples. That'll be a good thing too. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that, Lord, You want to use each one of us. And, Lord, we can be used in various ways. Help us to have a heart to serve, a desire to be used. And, Lord, do it in a manner that is glorifying to Your name. Give us that faithful heart, dear Father, regardless of what we see, what results come about. Just be faithful to You, I pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.